that go with us tonight into the Word of God. We're going to be going to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. Go towards the end of the chapter, amen, beginning at verse 30. Amen. 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 30. Amen. Praise God. Again, it's good to have everybody tonight. Thank you for you. Amen. 1 Kings 18, going to begin at verse 30. I'm going to read a few scriptures tonight. Amen. If you're able to stand, we ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Amen. 1 Kings 18, 30. Again, thankful. Amen. For the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Being able to be here tonight. Amen. Praise God. Been a little bit of a rough week physically. Amen. But I'm thankful. Amen. For health tonight. Amen. Amen. The touch of the Lord. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down.
Well.
And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word.
Yeah.
Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If you're going to blast the shofar, we want you to give the Lord praise for his word tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Praise God. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah, 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 thank you, Jesus, praise God, you may be seated tonight, amen, if the Lord will allow me, I'm going to minister simply on the thought, keeping the altar, amen, keeping the altar, look at a neighbor and just say, keeping the altar, amen, Amen. I don't plan to keep you long tonight, but I want to just bring to you what the Lord has laid on my heart. The word altar is used 321 times in 30 different books in the King James Bible. Amen. The word altar, praise God, is used 321 times. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, amen, in 30 different books of the King James Version of the Bible. The word altar in the Hebrew is the word mizbeach. It comes from a root word, zabach, which means to slaughter or kill or to do a sacrifice. The altar is very interesting, amen. The concept of the altar is very interesting, and we can look, when we look at all of the heroes in the Old Testament, if I can call them back tonight, those, amen, that we deem as heroes of the faith, those that, amen, walked in faith and trusted God, amen, the heroes of the faith, one of the defining characteristics of the heroes of the faith in the Old Testament is they knew how to build an altar, amen. And they all knew how to build an altar. So will you look, amen, praise God, Genesis through Malachi and all of those heroes, the prophets, and those that God used, amen, in the discourse of bringing about his plan and bringing in the covenant, amen, and bringing in the new covenant and working through everything, you will see, amen, that one of the defining characteristics of each of them is that they knew how to build an altar. Now, when they build an altar, amen, it wasn't just something to be doing, but they build an altar in order to assign God's authority to a region or in a specific place. Sometimes an altar was built as a place of remembrance, but it was still, amen, assigning the authority of God in that region or that place. And so the altar, amen, signified that God's authority was in that place. Something, amen, took happen in that place. Amen, we see in the Word of God that Noah was the first to build an altar. Noah, after he was in the ark, amen, and the preservation of the earth came, and he rested on Mount Ararat, amen, and the waters receded. Praise God, and the earth was back in the preservation process, if I can say it like that. Noah was the first one to build an altar. This is where we actually see the word used, amen, for the first time, and that is when Noah built that altar, amen. So we see a common denominator in the characteristic of knowing how to build an altar, amen, and that was that anyone who built an altar had a relationship with God, and if they had a relationship with God, they had an altar, amen, praise God. So if they had any kind of established rapport, established communication, and established worship, and established relationship with God, they built an altar. Look at your neighbor and say, you need an altar, amen, praise God. We see that Abraham was called out of his land, amen, and he was the second one to build an altar. So Noah was the first, and then Abraham became the second to build an altar. We know that he was called out, amen, of his land, praise the Lord, and God was calling him, amen, to set him up as the father of the nations, amen. And so Abraham built an altar, amen, to signify that it was not about him, but it was about God, amen. It wasn't about anything that he was doing or anything that he could accomplish, but everything that he was doing was about God. And so we're beginning to see, amen, Noah built an altar, amen, in order to worship God, amen, as a result of, amen, the preservation of the flood and the earth beginning to, amen, be renewed. And so he built an altar for that purpose. Now Abraham is building an altar, amen, in order to establish that, amen, everything about his life, everything about that from that point on, and his life was about God and it was not about him. Amen. So an altar is literally a place of sacrifice. We told you, amen, that the root word zabah is literally means, amen, to kill or slaughter, or amen, to do a sacrifice. So it was a slaughtering place. It was a place, amen, where the animal was slaughtered. The animal was slain and was placed on the altar. Amen. Where there was an altar, there was usually fire. Amen. Because when the animal was placed on the altar, amen, the purpose of that was to offer it up as a sacrifice unto God. So once again, we're seeing Noah, amen, worshiping God, building an altar. Abraham worshiping God and establishing, amen, that it is not about him, but his life is now about doing the will of God. Amen. And so building an altar was not amen, a simple task. It was not something that was ordinary or easy to do. It took a lot of preparation, amen, to build an altar. And an altar was not built, amen, to just be built and then tore down. If an altar was built, amen, it was built to remain. Hallelujah. And so there was a lot of preparation in building an altar. Amen, there was a lot of work that had to be done. Once the altar was built, then they had to gather the wood. Amen. Then when they gathered the wood, they had to make a fire. And then after they made the fire, they had to slaughter the animal. And then when they slaughtered the animal, they had to cut the animal in pieces. And then they could now offer the animal on the altar, amen, as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And now, amen, they could begin their worship. They could begin their petition. Amen. So it wasn't an easy task, amen, to build an altar. Amen. When we look at the tabernacle, amen, one of the first things that you see, amen, when they entered into the tabernacle, Brother Shane, was an altar. Amen, there was the altar. Amen, that was there before the Holy of Holies. Amen, it was the biggest part, if I can say it like that, of the temple, of the tabernacle. Amen. And you see, it because nothing else matters without the altar. So if there wasn't an altar in the tabernacle, amen, then nothing else beyond that would be accessible. Are you with me tonight? If there wasn't an altar, amen, then everything else beyond the altar really had no significance. And you see, you can't for what was beyond, what was the ultimate arrival in the tabernacle. Amen. When you went into the outer courts and you moved your way, amen, through into the Holy of Holies, amen, into the holy place, and then you moved your way into the most holy place of the Holy of Holies, the ultimate arrival was to be in the glory and the presence of God. For behind the most holy place, the veil was the glory of the Lord. It was, amen, the presence of God. And so you cannot experience the glory of the Lord without the altar. Amen. You cannot see. There would have been no access into everything else that remained. Amen. The praise, the altar of incense. Amen. The priest, the table of shewbread. Amen. The menorah, the candlestick. Amen. And then ultimately, the Holy of Holies. None of that would have mattered without the altar. And so I say that to say this, that they could not bypass the altar. They could not bypass the place of sacrifice. And can I tell you tonight that if you are going to encounter the glory of the Lord in your life, amen, you cannot bypass the place of sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have access into, amen, the presence and the glory of the Lord. Amen. But you cannot bypass the altar. Amen. You cannot get past the sacrifice. Amen. If you're going to experience the glory of the Lord in your life. And let me remind you, amen, that the glory of the Lord is not meant, you see, it was only a once a year experience. Amen. It was only for the high priest. Not everybody could have access. But we know Jesus died, became our high priest. So now we can enter boldly into the throne, into the presence of the Lord. So I'm here to tell you that experiencing the glory of the Lord in your life is not meant to be a one-time thing. It's not meant to be only when there's revival. or only when there's camp meeting, or only when you feel like it, or only when it is convenient for you, or only when it is appropriate, or only when you're in the mood. Amen. But the glory of the Lord is meant to be an ongoing encounter in the life and the relationship of God and His people. And so that's why we can have free access. But there cannot be a glory encounter if there is not a sacrifice in your life. Amen. You can't just sit back, amen, and do nothing and expect, amen, to experience the glory of the Lord. But there cannot be a sacrifice unless there is an altar. And where there's an altar, there will be fire. And where there is fire, there will be a sacrifice that is freely accepted. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me in this place? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't bypass the altar. You can't bypass the altar. Look at him again and say, there's got to be a sacrifice. Hallelujah, there's got to be a sacrifice. And I will testify to you, and I will be transparent with you as I always am. I believe if there is ever a time in the history of the dispensation of the grace of God, if there's ever been a time in history from the ascension of Jesus back and the coming of that day of Pentecost in the upper room until now, amen, it is more of a challenge today, amen, to live a sacrificial life unto the Lord consistently than it has ever been. But I'm here to tell you that just because it is difficult does not mean that it is impossible. Remember, Jesus made the way, and because He's there, we can enter in there as well. There's a lot of things that distract us today. There's a lot of weighty circumstances. There's a lot of things in the spirit that are heavy. I sense that heaviness. I know I'm not the only one, but you can sense that heaviness. And even when the glory of the Lord is present, and even when, amen, there's things of Lord that are in right place, and everything, amen, is together and connected, you can still sense the heaviness in the spirit. Amen. Because there is a war. If there's ever been a tug, amen, for the flesh, amen, against the spirit. I mean, in the spirit realm. I believe corporately, if I can say it like that, overall in the body of Christ, the pull and the tug of the flesh. And it's not even just the sin. It's not the sin. I don't have any desire to have the things of the world. I don't have any desire, thank God, that I don't have any desire for the worldly things. But I can tell you that the pull of the flesh, to yield to the flesh, is greater and deeper now, amen, than I've ever sensed in the, amen, in the 44 years that I've been serving the Lord. I can say that for me, so I'll just say it for myself. And when I say the tug of the flesh, amen, being overcome, amen, with just the cares of life and the weariness, amen, not only in your spirit, but in your physical body, amen. And so, amen, making that place of sacrifice, amen. amen, is not always an easy thing to accomplish. But we already said building an altar is not a menial task. Hallelujah. But I promise you that if you keep the altar and you remain with a sacrifice, the Lord will never fail to meet you at the altar. God, I feel his presence tonight. I said he will never fail to meet you at the altar. And so the mornings that I feel like my prayers will not be effective. I feel like that my prayers will not generate much faith in me. Hallelujah. I hold to the truth that if I go to the altar, that if I show up at the place of sacrifice, the Lord will meet me there. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? He will meet me there. Aren't you glad tonight for the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. I said, aren't you thankful for the faithfulness of the King tonight? Hallelujah. The Old Testament heroes were defined by their altars.
Yeah.
Prayer began at the altar. And that's where it still begins. Prayer begins at the altar. See, prayer is prioritizing God over menial tasks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we all have the same menial tasks.
Mm-hmm.
We all have things that we've got to do in the day. Amen. We all have to get up. We all have to, at the least, get ourselves ready. Amen. Get ourselves, amen, together and prepare for the day. If you go out of your house for your job, and you got to get yourself up. You got to get yourself up in time. Amen. You got a time frame. Amen. So you got to take care of the things that you got. Kids, amen. You get up. And amen. You got a family. What you going to fix for dinner is all on your mind, and what has to be done, if there's laundry that needs to be done, if there's housework that needs to be done, if you need to go to the grocery store, or you need to stop at the bank, or you need to do this, you need to make sure this is done, or Jim Mom needs to be at soccer at 5:15, and Sally has to be at the ball field at 6 o'clock, and Dad don't get off work till 5:45, and so everybody's rushing, right? And so you get up faced with the things that you got to do for the day, not counting that if you serve the Lord and you are dealing with spiritual warfare, then you add that to the mix. Something has to be put at the end of the list, and unfortunately it's usually our time with God. It's usually, amen, the menial tasks, amen, overcome, amen, our time at the altar with God. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. So if that's, amen, the situation for you, you're not alone in this house. Amen. But listen to me. Prayer is prioritizing God over the menial task. Because at the end of the day, those things really don't matter. If Jim Bob is 5 minutes late, the world is not going to fall apart. Amen. If Sally, amen, forgets, amen, something, praise God, it's not the end of the world. Amen. If you don't know exactly what you're going to fix for dinner, amen, praise God, this is not, amen, the greatest catastrophe. But if you consistently miss your time at the altar, if you consistently bypass the place of sacrifice. Amen. When you need the glory of the Lord, amen, do you stand the chance to have to, amen, go through the process? Are you with me? Hallelujah. See, it's not about earning anything, amen, but it's about receiving, amen, the opportunity that God has for you. So you have to prioritize the altar. But I think it's interesting that we can spend 6 hours binging on Netflix and Prime Video, but we struggle to have 10 minutes in prayer with the Lord. We can watch a whole season of a show on Netflix in one day.
Come on.
But we seem to not be able to find time to pray 10 minutes.
It's true.
Can I get an amen? We struggle with that. Why do you think this is? See, our first response, you know, and let's just be honest, our flesh is lazy.
Yes.
But here's the thing. We do other things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not laziness. It's about other things that are keeping us from making that a priority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not out of some book that is lazy. Okay? It's just this is how it is. But it's really not, when you sit and you think about it, it's really not just, you know, that we're too lazy, or I don't believe that everyone that doesn't really have the want to. They want to, and they know they need to, and then you come on a Thursday night, and the pastor has to blast you out, and the pastor has to remind you, amen, that you need to prioritize God better in your life. Are you with me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why do you think this is? It's really... And, you know, some people say, well, I just don't know how to pray. The reason you don't know how to pray is because you don't pray. The reason that you don't, listen, you know, learning to communicate with the Lord is not something that comes natural. Right? It's something that you acquire. It's something, amen, that you, it's like praying and learning to yield to pray in the Spirit. That really doesn't come natural for a lot of folks. Praying in the Spirit is awkward, even if they're by themselves. So it really isn't that you're incapable of praying effectively. It's because the enemy knows the power of deception.
Oh, that's good.
It's because the enemy knows that as soon as your feet hit the floor, life is chaotic right now. Amen. You can go to the grocery store, come out with 2.5 bags, amen, but $70 dinged on your checking account. Amen. And you go home and you have enough for maybe 2 meals. Are you with me? Amen. Or your feet hit the floor and the day smacks you right there. Amen. Something hurts or you're feeling, amen, you went to bed tired, you wake up tired, or you start thinking about the things that need to be done. You get busy, amen, doing what is necessary. Amen. Isn't it interesting that as soon as people get up, before they even put their feet out of the bed, a lot of times they have their phone in their hand and they're scrolling and looking what they missed the few hours that they slept. Come on, somebody,
yes,
you hear
on.
It. Amen. The first thing they think about is getting on, amen, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, seeing what they miss, the notifications, amen. And before you know it, you have wasted, amen, 35, 40 minutes, amen. Then you're up running around like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to get everything done, yelling at everybody, get up, get up, get up. What's wrong with you? Get up, get
Come
up,
on.
Get up. And then at the end of the day, when the Holy Spirit, amen, dings your heart, you're like, I just haven't had time to pray today.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because because the enemy knows how to distract us. That's why I said it is harder now in this culture than it's ever been, because there's more to pull us away, and it's not necessarily simple. It's just a distraction. Come on, somebody. We can't even send the service anymore without looking and checking our phones. We can't even turn them off because we don't want to miss the notification. Oh, come on, somebody. I see you. Hallelujah. I just don't preach on it or harp on it, but I see you. Amen. Praise God. Come on, are you with me? And I've been there. I've been there when I'm not preaching. Amen. And the temptation, my phone's up there, so I can't go check mine. But I've been there. Amen. At other places, visiting in my phone, and had the urge to just look and realize, what are you doing? Amen. You came to worship the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. We can't seem to, we struggle with praying effectively for 10 minutes, but we can effectively devote our attention and our mind and our cognitive ability to what somebody else is eating, what's happening in the bathroom, what they're looking like in the mirror. Amen. How much, amen, they've accomplished, and what they don't like, who they don't like, who they're voting for, who they're not voting for. And then we find our flesh rising up at the mess we see on there, and we get angry, we want to cuss, fuss, and carry on and say, come on, somebody, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about keeping the altar. If we're going to keep our minds in perfect peace, we got to let the peacekeeper keep our minds. Come on, somebody, are you with me tonight? Amen. Sometimes, amen, you struggle with your sleep and you struggle with resting because it's what you have looked at the very last minute before you close your eyes. You filled your mind with somebody else's thoughts and their negativity. Amen. And all of the other, come on, somebody, do you hear me? And then we wonder why we struggle to sleep or we struggle to find rest. I need somebody to help me tonight. Hallelujah. The enemy knows the power of distraction, but can I tell you, he also knows the power of attraction. As much as he knows the power of distraction, he knows the power of attraction, because he knows the sacrifice of time and prayer is going to bring fire down from heaven. He knows that if you spend 5 minutes in a man at the altar, that God's going to meet you there. Come on, somebody. I feel the preacher now. Amen. As much as he knows the power of distraction, he knows the power of attraction. He knows that a sacrifice will bring a response from heaven. And what is the fire? It's the evidence that God is in your life. And so he does not want the evidence of the fire of God in your life. I need somebody, hallelujah, to help me. Can I tell you that hell resists altars? Hell resists altars. But I've come tonight to remind you that in these last hours, as we have left camp meeting last week, and we have digested and took in some rich word, some valuable revelation, some encouraging, amen, words, some personal words from God, let us keep the altar, and that's going to keep the fire. And if we keep the fire, hallelujah, we're going to keep, amen, the place of God in our lives. One of the greatest things, one of the greatest negative things about social media today is comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a person in here, mm-hmm, that's been on social media any amount of time that has not compared, mm-hmm, yourself, your life, your circumstances, your day, your husband, your wife,
come on,
your family, your children, your house, to somebody else. Especially ministry. You know what I see in other preachers, especially evangelists, is that they see who preachers and pastors have invite to preach, and if they're not invited, or if they're left out for a certain length of time from an extended invitation, the enemy starts messing with their mind. I had them reach out to them. They look at and they begin to compare, and then the enemy says, what do you think you've done?
Right.
I thought they liked you. Mm.
It's true.
He will get us to begin to compare. And then we look at everything that we haven't done, don't do, don't have, haven't accomplished, instead of all that God has done in our lives.
Absolutely.
And we begin to compare. Then we start comparing our abilities. Look, I've said it for years. There's always going to be somebody sing better than you. Always going to be somebody play better than you. Always going to be somebody. I learned that traveling and singing. I used to get a nervous wreck and thinking of my lack of ability and my incompetence. And I would sit up in my mind, you know what? There's always somebody better than me, but there's also somebody better than me.
Come on.
I don't mean that ugly, but you know what I'm saying. Help me, Lord. But the enemy will get us, and I say that. I speak about hell-resistant altars, because hell would rather you be gifted than consecrated. Hell is not intimidated by our giftings. Dude, preachers are a dime a dozen. Musicians are a dime a dozen. Singers are a dime a dozen. They all try to sound like each other now. You ever listen? I'm like, well, I'm so-and-so saying, well, he sounds a little less
good. Right.
Help me, Jesus. there's this fad now among people that sing in church and worship singers, and addiction. They got Jesus. Everybody tries to sound the same. It's annoying to me. I'm like, just sing.
Right.
Quit trying to sound like the next one. Come on, to where, honestly, I can't hardly tell the difference in one and the other. And I can't listen to it. If it comes up on my social media, and they're, especially if they're in the mirror, singing a cappella to themselves, I'm like, just sing. Quit trying to pronounce and be, you don't say.
Yes.
Hell would much rather us be gifted and consecrated.
It's good.
Remember Cain and Abel? Cain had a gift. Cain brought a gift to the Lord. Abel brought a sacrifice. Come on. Cain brought a gift to the Lord. Abel had a sacrifice. See, And not that gifts aren't essential.
Right.
Gifts are essential. God blesses us with gifts and abilities. That's why we're made in the image of God. Everything that we do, God can do.
Right?
And we're made in His image. Gifts are essential, but hell doesn't try to hinder the progress of giftings.
Right.
You can see that today in the body of Christ and in the exposure that's happening in the large in the body of Christ. There's exposure happening, especially in people that are in ministries and ministers that have had influence to thousands and thousands of people. You can see, amen, that hell has not tried to hinder the progress of giftings. But listen, hell doesn't want you to have the character with the gift.
That's good.
That's what hell is intimidated by. That's why hell resists the altar. Because it's at the altar, it's at the place of sacrifice that we begin to develop the character of God. It's because that's where we lay down the flesh and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to be on the forefront and to operate in our life, because it's the Holy Spirit that possesses the gifts, right? Not us. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. So hell does not try to hinder the progress of the gifts, but hell does not want you to have the character that goes along with the gift. He wants the gift to take you higher, because he wants to elevate your gift, because when the gift is elevated, he is elevated. So he wants to take you higher, but he doesn't want you to have the character to keep you there. Because it's the character of God and the Holy Spirit that will keep you. God is the one that, right, that elevates us and exalts us. And when we have the character, when we have the place of sacrifice, amen, there, then we can be kept at that place of elevation. Are you with me? That's why you're seeing some falling.
Right.
And listen, you know, the higher up you are, the harder to fall.
Right.
And that's what the enemy wants.
Yeah.
The enemy wants to elevate you and I with our giftings, and then, bam, wants us to fall hard.
Yeah.
But how many knows that we are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ?
Right.
Amen? Because he has made us righteous. So it's at the altar that we begin to present the sacrifice. We leave everything that we shouldn't be at the altar, because it's there that the fire consumes it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's where it is. This is why hell does not resist you and I openly, but privately.
Right.
This is why the struggle and the opposition from hell is not done in the open with everybody else. It's done privately. Everybody understand what I'm saying? When I say that, what I mean? That's why, you know, the old saying, man, the struggle is real.
Yeah.
The struggle is real. And he brings the resistance and the distraction at the place of sacrifice. If he can keep you away from the altar, I'm not talking about this altar.
No.
Right. He can keep you away from the altar in your life. He's going to succeed in keeping you distracted, because he knows, like I said, that the altar attracts the fire. That's why it's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
Never has been, nor will it ever be.
Right.
Not about us. In Exodus chapter 20, I think it's about verse 25, God told Moses, when he was instructing Moses to build the altar, he said, Moses, I don't want you to build the altar of hewn stones. He said, if you put your tool to the stone, the altar is defiled. So in other words, Moses, you can't personalize it, or you can't fashion it to your liking. you get stones and you use them as you find them. And you build the altar. If you put your tool and you try to shape the stones and make them fit and make it all to your liking, you will defile the altar. So we don't have a say-so when God speaks to us and tells us, you need to pray. Okay, well, let me get this done, do this, let me accomplish it like this, like that, and I'll get to it.
Right.
God said, if you fashion that altar to your liking, you have defiled the altar.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to prioritize. See, consecration is not to my liking. I've learned. Amen. That consecration is never to my liking. Never have I ever liked consecration. Because it's crucifying what I like and what I want and what I'm used to and what makes me comfortable and what makes me feel good and what gives me pleasure. Even though it may not be a sin,
right,
I still like it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anything people don't like to eat. When it's time to eat, I want to eat. Right? But when God says, you're not eating.
Come on.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh, God. But Lord, the provider ran out of work today.
It always happens.
You knew that. Before you asked me to do this, why didn't you prepare me 2 days in advance? Because you try to shape the altar. You
come
try
on.
To make it fit for you. You try to say, well, I'll fast and then I'll go ahead and eat lunch because, you know, I don't want to make him feel bad. It's not always to our liking. When God says, I want you to get up at 5 a.m. and I want you to spend time with me in prayer
come on.
Before you begin anything else, I don't like it.
It's gonna take a night to grow.
I don't like it.
I'm serious.
It's just, I don't like it.
Right.
Okay, God, I'll do it at 8 o'clock.
Right.
God's like, no. I didn't say 8 o'clock. I didn't ask you to choose the time.
Come on.
I just asked you when to be there. So you can't put your tool. You can't personalize that altar. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that's why we don't get through.
That's good.
That's why sometimes I don't think we get the response.
It's really good.
That we want. And sometimes that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm not trying to hurt you, then I'm trying to help.
Yes.
So you know, when we build the altar God's way, then we adjust to the altar.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
When we do it God's way, then we adjust ourselves to the altar in the way that God has built it. That's when we begin to bring ourselves to a place of sacrifice. See, we don't find time to pray. We make time.
Come on.
Right.
I need about 6 more hours in the day. Most days. And still don't get done what I'd like to. So I'm not going to find time. How many's ever found time?
Right, right.
When you think about it, we make that sense, but when have you ever found time? Except for something that
come on.
You enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you come on.
Uh-huh.
That brings you pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? So we make time to pray. That's why we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. That's just where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
That's our reasonable service compared to what he has done for us. Can I tell you something? Satan has built altars. The world has altars. Everybody has altars. Everybody has altars. What matters is who we devote it to. That's what matters, is who we devote the altar to. So, where is your altar? Where is your devotion? Where is your focus? What is your driving force? And where is your altar? It's where you spend time and sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Where you spend time is your altar. So, help us, Jesus. If we spend hours a day scrolling social media, that's your altar.
Uh-huh.
That phone is your altar.
Uh-huh.
The knowing, staying in the know, is your altar. It's that plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you can't find time to pray and to give the Lord personal time, because it's not there. You don't have it. But you got to make that time. You got to make that time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? Now, see, we see in 1 Kings 18 that Elijah repaired the altar. So he didn't build a new one. He repaired the old one. And he took 12 stones. Each stone represented each of the 12 tribes of Israel. So he rebuilt the altar with 12 stones. Those 12 stones and the 12 tribes represent the rights and the inheritance of God's people. This is our right. This is our due inheritance. Those 12 stones declared who God was.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the one, and Jacob, the one that God called Israel.
Right.
So those stones, that altar declared who God was. Okay? It was simply, see, we don't choose what we build our altar with. We don't choose what it is that we use to build our altar. It has to be built with the understanding of who God is and His Word. Period. It has to be built with the understanding and the revelation of who God is. God's been dealing with me about that lately. I talked about it on Sunday morning, about having a revelation of really who God is.
Right.
Remember our Ruah and the Teruah? Amen. And having a revelation. So our altar is built with the understanding on who God is and His Word. That's why I think so many people don't realize the significance of keeping the altar in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Because they truly don't grasp the understanding of who God is to them.
Mm-hmm.
For them.
Mm.
With them.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize the authority that they have in this word. See, we've got to be willing to do for God. Here we go. Someone's like, I wish you would get off of this. Get your altar. Keep your altar. I'm trying to help you tonight.
Yes.
Because this is going to keep us.
Yes.
Amen. In these coming days, look. September, I'm ready for fall. Amen. I told you, summer has been a sobering time, a sobering season. I'm ready to be past. I love fall in a way, but I really want fall. But I'm telling you what, stuff's coming.
Uh-huh.
And we've got to keep the altar in our lives if we're going to be able to sustain in these coming days.
Yeah.
We haven't had rain other than a shower here and there for over a month.
Yeah.
The evening that we set up the tent, we had a 30-minute downpour.
Right.
Just enough to make us have to load everything up and quit. Listen, wells depend on the rain. My house runs on a well. And wells depend on rain. And this drought that's happening is affecting the agriculture.
Yes.
Has affected the agriculture in the coming weeks. Reaping are not reapable. Say what you will. I think it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
I think it's the time that we are in. Mm-hmm. So we've got to keep the altar. If we're going to be sustainable in these times that are coming up. Financial times, say it's hard.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Things are not easy.
Right.
And so we've got to be willing to do for God or to sacrifice what we do for work, what we do for school, what we do for sports, so on and so on. We got to be willing. I'm not saying don't work, don't go to school,
right,
but you can't. You got to be willing to sacrifice for God the way that you sacrifice for your work, your education,
right,
for sports, for things that have no eternal value.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to sacrifice for God. See, here's the thing. It's easy to sacrifice for something that we can see because we get quicker results.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to, oh my Lord, I don't want to go to work. How many of you said that this week?
Yeah.
I don't want to go to work, but you know you don't.
Come on.
And so when you get paid, you see the quick results of that. So it makes it easier to get up the next Monday morning.
Right.
Because you saw the results of the previous Monday on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Would you get paid? Are you with me? We further our education, nothing wrong with it, but we see the results of that because we see the tests and the things that we do and the grades and the results, and sometimes it gets us jobs and places and just opens doors, and so we can see quick results with those kind of things. But you see, when it comes to sacrificing to God, you're not always going to see it now. You're not always going to reap right away.
Right.
You're not always going to get those quick results. But I tell you, you will reap later.
It's good.
For if you're not weary in well-doing,
mm-hmm,
you will reap in due season if you faint not.
Right.
He that waits upon the Lord will have their strength renewed. You will. So show up at the altar when you're weary, spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. Show up there. I've got in my prayer closet here lately, Matt, and just let out a big sigh and like, God, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm here this morning, but God, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just not real sure what to say.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I feel, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know how I feel.
Yeah.
You know the depths of my heart.
Yes.
And my earnest desire. You know me
uh-huh.
better than I know myself. So it's not always getting out this great, long, eloquent speech and prayer and speaking in tongues for 20 minutes and feeling having a divine visitation and having the glory of the Lord show up and you and walk in on feeling like, yes.
Right.
There's been plenty of times I've walked out of my prayer closet feeling the same way I did.
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
In fact, when I go to get up, I got just as much getting up out of my prayer closet as I do getting out of bed. The truth. So it's not always about quick results. But he promised that if we are faithful in obedience and we keep the altar, he will never fail to show up. But listen, there's been times when I went in there feeling empty and not knowing what to say or how to act or how to respond or feel like that I say the same thing over and over again, that God's shown up later in the day.
Yeah.
And he's honored. He'll honor the sacrifice. The enemy wants to distract you from that. See, the sacrifice, I'm about to wrap this up. I told you I'm going to keep it all tonight. The sacrifice has to be in place before worship can happen. The worship always happened after the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
The worship always took place after the sacrifice was given. See, worship isn't what we sing, and it's not a once in a while thing.
Uh-huh.
Worship is what we build with our lives. That's what our worship is. It's what we build with our lives. That's why you gotta keep the altar. Because worship cannot transpire until sacrifice has taken place first.
Right.
So worship is what we build with our lives. Worship is what you do, how you act, how you respond, how you are obedient to God, your faithfulness, your consistency, your actions. That's worship, honoring God in your life. When we come in here, an overflow of that goes beyond the praise. But we bring sacrifice of praise, and it takes us into a realm of worship.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Praise gets us in there.
Right.
Worship gets us a response. Mm-hmm. Are you understanding that?
Yeah.
So the sacrifice has to take place before worship. And you can't have a life of worship without an altar.
Right.
You can't have a life of worship without an altar. Mm-hmm. And you can't build an altar without a revelation of who God is.
Right.
There's no need for an altar if you don't know the purpose and the reason.
Right, why you're there.
That you're even going there in the first place. You understand that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without a revelation. So altars are for worship, right? They're a place that we seek guidance. They're a place where we express gratitude. But ultimately, the altar is for offering or sacrifice. And then the other stuff is just an overflow. But Elijah poured those barrels of water. And then when it was time for the evening sacrifice, he prepared the altar, repaired it, got the sacrifice ready, and then when it was time, he showed up. You see, you catch that? He didn't just do it and then bam. So he waited until the time of the evening sacrifice, when he knew that God had set that for a required time to honor him. And then he offered the sacrifice. And then what happened? The fire showed up.
Right.
I think it's interesting that the Hebrew wording in that scripture, it says that when the fire came down and it water, it's the same word in Hebrew. When you read the complete Jewish translation, a lot of times they'll change the word. It says licked as well. And what licked up the water? Fire.
Right.
What happened in the upper room? Tongues of fire.
Wow.
Licking up, amen, the water. So the Holy Ghost will be there. And he will meet us. The fire of God will meet you. And the fire will consume everything that is around and trying to consume. So the enemy wants to distract you. Now, I'm not saying you can't be saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. But I'm telling you that salvation goes beyond,
yes, come on,
that initial experience. He saves us in order for us to have a relationship with him. And if we're going to have a relationship with him, he wants us to have a right one.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to experience everything that we can.
Right.
So the Lord has just sent me tonight to encourage us as they get ready to come to the music, to encourage us to keep the altar.
Mm-hmm.
In this last hours. I don't know how much time we have left. I honestly don't know. We're coming upon the fall feast. This could be it. We were talking, I think, when we were setting up the tent about, you know, I'm getting ready going to be 60 in December. And I said, well, if the Lord don't come, I'm like, well, you know what? The fall feast are coming before my birthday. And I believe that that's very well could be when things could take place during that season. And I said, well, if he's letting me hang around this long, I at least want to see 60. I'm going to be there. But you never know. You know that. But we never know. And I don't know about you, but I sense it's almost like tension,
right.
In the spirit. I don't know. I can even feel it sometimes when I'm sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel,
mm-hmm,
the tension. You can sense it. And it's not even just because of the political climate. And that's just part of it. Everything together. But it's in the spirit. And I'm talking about, you know, down in this earthly realm. But I sense it in the spirit. And when you add in the normal cares of life, but then you add the hardships that are now added to the everyday cares of life, the financial strain, the cost of living, all of the things that are happening, it's even harder. You find yourself, I don't want to be an adult today. Right? I'm done with being an adult. I don't want to be an adult today. So it's easy for your flesh to get overwhelmed and overcome and just to say, you know what? I can just barely do what I need to do. And the enemy will distract you.
Yes.
So I felt the Lord just today as he led me to this, to encourage us to keep the altar. To not bypass the place of sacrifice. Don't exchange it for things that have no eternal value. Don't exchange that time and that place of sacrifice for things that are not going to help you reap the benefits of God's blessings. So it ain't easy. It's not going to be easy. And we're all going to miss it. We're all going to have those times. I told you, I didn't feel well at all. Actually started on Saturday. Felt battling pain and sickness on Sunday morning. And then all until really yesterday. And so it's easy to think, you know what? I just don't feel
right.
I don't feel like it. Thank God for grace. He knows we're not perfect, and He knows that we're going to be. That's when we got to realize that He knows our hearts. So I just stand with me tonight across the house on this Thursday night. We can't identify with the weight and the heaviness in the spirit realm. We can't identify with that. We can recognize it. But we know who bears that burden and where we take that to. The Bible warns us that in the last days He would love to wear out God's people.
Yeah.
And I have felt worn out.
Yes.
But Jesus died and done too much for us to stay in a place of defeat. The enemy will distract you, he'll keep you. But I want to challenge you as they begin to worship. But ask those that will to just lift your hands. If you want prayer, we'll pray for you. But I just want us to lift our hands and just pray together for God to strengthen and to be encouraged to keep the altar. Don't bypass the place of sacrifice. Because the ultimate experience of the glory of the Lord begins with the altar. So as they begin to worship, all that will, lift your hands all across this place tonight. Come on, let's pray together.